Today, we are studying James again, but before we jump into James, I have a few announcements. Number one, we can welcome Danny into our elders team at Colony Christian Church. Thank you, Danny, for all your hard work and service, and I'm excited for you to be on board to help guide our church, our body of Christ, closer to Jesus. So the second announcement is that we did find someone to take the bus off of our hands. One person put in a bid, and he won that, and that person was Noah Gordon. So Noah Gordon is not here. He's in Colorado, actually, enjoying the mountains, but he is the proud new owner of a not-so-gently-used church bus. It'll be interesting to see what he's going to... He talked about putting four-wheel drive on it. We might need it again to borrow it for a church bus if he does that, considering how often we get stuck. Okay, so the building team will meet next Sunday right after church. We'll have lunch, so I'm looking forward to that building team. And speaking of getting our building team back together and starting towards our new building, I wanted to talk a little bit about that today. It kind of leads into what James has got to talk about. You know, here in our church, we have a lot of folks who have built their own house or have helped build houses. Some of you helped me build my house. And if you are like me, you've learned some lessons in doing that, right? You learn what not to do. You build your house and you say, if I ever do that again, which is probably not going to happen, right? If I ever do that again, I won't do it this way because I did it that way and it doesn't work out. You know the saying, experience gives wisdom, right? So experience is often what we learn from our mistakes. So since we have a bunch of wise and experienced folks here today, right? We have experience from making mistakes. We ought to be able to be confident about building our new church building. We should have all the experience that we need to do that. James asked a similar question in his passage today. James chapter 3, verses 13. Follow along on the board or in your Bible. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly and unspiritual and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Verse 13 in the New International Version starts out like this. Who among you is wise? Who among you is wise? Think about that for a minute. Do you have someone in your life that you can go to with difficult questions? You know, questions like, how should I handle this? What decision should I make in this situation, fill in the blank. When you're struggling with your kids or your marriage, you have someone wise that you can go to talk to about that. Maybe when there's too much month at the end of the money, you have someone that you can ask, man, I need help figuring this out. Do you have a wise person in your life that you can go to and talk through these kind of issues? Because we all have issues that we struggle with, right? I surely do. Probably most of us have someone we can talk to, or someone we do talk to. Most of us at least share things on a surface level with others, but we need someone who we can really trust in order to be vulnerable with. Someone we can lay our souls bare in front of. That sounds scary. We need someone who has been there and done that. Someone who has experience, but experience is not the ultimate qualifier in choosing someone to help mentor you through the storms of life. Wisdom. Wisdom is the ultimate qualifier. We all need to connect with a wise person, someone who matches up with James's description of a wise person. We can ask ourselves, when wondering who this wise person might be, what is their conduct like? Are they kind and gentle, or are they harsh and abrasive when giving advice? Do they truly listen, or are they in a hurry to have their voice heard about their answer, their way, what they would do? Can you look into this person's life and see that they are patient and considerate of others? Are they humble and generous? Or are they jealous about what others have? What do they spend their time and energy on? The Bible instructs us in Colossians to bear one another's burdens, to teach and counsel each other with all wisdom. The purpose of this wise counseling is to build each other up. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. In a Christian Standard Version says, no foul language is to come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear. When choosing a builder, it is a good idea to check out their work before you ask them to build for you. If you want something done, don't just hire some random individual. So, we've got some pictures here of some beautiful houses. If I were to build a house, I would look at some advertisements and I would see this house, and the guy who built this house is the guy who I want. I mean, if I had money, right? But I don't. But if I had money to buy a house, I would want this guy to build my house. This happens to be Larry and Bev's son and their construction company. They build beautiful houses like this. And then I would go inside their house to check out what's on the inside. Not only do these guys know how to build a house, they know where to build a house. Do you see what's through that window? There's mountains in the background. They know where to build their houses. So I say, these folks know what they're doing. We check up to see their work before we ask them to build for you. Jesus points us to this type of builder that we should be, or that we should look for, when it comes to the construction of our lives, meaning how we should act, how we should speak, and how we should live and relate to others. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus gives us some insight on this. He says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat up against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Wisdom, folks, begins with the fear of the Lord. And it's anchored in the truth the rock, which is Jesus Christ, in order to be wise or to give counsel, you must first fear the Lord. Now, we're not talking about being afraid of God, cowering down at the sound of His voice. If that's the case, who would ever look forward to hearing from God? No, fear of the Lord is the reverential awe that causes your heart to give honor to your Creator by trusting in Him. By the way, He created you. He created the entire universe and the huge galaxies and everything between there and the smallest, little bittiest wasp that's flying around in our congregation right now. And the molecules that that wasp is made of, and everything in between, God created. Man, when He gives instruction, we ought to live by it because He knows everything. He knows it all. We ought to live by the instruction that He gives. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8 says, "The wise are glad to be instructed, but fools fall flat on their faces." We begin building our character from simple to wise when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. You know, the story of the gospel doesn't make sense from a perspective of human wisdom. Think about it. An all-powerful God who can do everything made Himself nothing in order to give His life for a ransom for the pitiful creatures who would not love or obey Him. That's you and I, the pitiful creatures that don't always obey Him, and yet He gave His life as a ransom for us. Boy, that just doesn't make sense to our earthly minds. Paul tells the Corinthians that man often thinks himself wise and above God, or without a need for God, with their superior knowledge and religious piety. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, God was pleased to save those who believe through the foolishness of what is preached. That is the gospel, the cross. The gospel and the cross, the message of a Savior, is not foolishness, but to our humanly minds, it often seems foolish. God is pleased to save those who believe. Paul continues talking about the connection between building on a firm foundation and wisdom in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ." If we are to wisely build a life that will withstand the elements, we must walk and talk like Christ. That is why James says that wisdom is pure. Jesus' motives were always holy and always doing God's will. Wisdom is peace-loving. So is Jesus. He calmed the storms. He didn't stir them up. Wisdom is gentle. Jesus did not curse the people like the fake Greek and Roman gods. Wisdom is willing to yield to others, never by sinning. Jesus made every effort to meet people where they were. It's full of mercy. Jesus offered forgiveness. Wisdom is full of good deeds. Jesus healed folks. and he did miracles, but most of all, he took time for people. Likewise, Jesus showed no favoritism. Wisdom shows no favoritism. Tax collectors, fishermen, zealots, pious Jews, and traitors all had their feet washed by our Savior. Wisdom and Jesus are sincere. There was never a moment in his life where he was in it for himself. These qualities are much like the fruit of the Holy Spirit that we should be producing in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Our world needs more wise people. Would you agree? People who are building on a firm biblical foundation, who can speak peace or truth, or peace and truth and life to turn those around them. Every one of us, and our kids even more so, are bombarded by an overload of information. But we don't need more information, folks. We need wisdom to navigate through this world of shifting shadows, masked agendas, and media chaos. Solomon said there is nothing new under the sun, and I believe that Paul would agree that this scripture that I'm about to read you is pertinent today just as much as it was the day he wrote it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, "Stop deceiving yourselves. If you think you are wise by this world's standards, then you need to become a fool to be truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God." If you think you are wise by this world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. So we need to pay attention to what wisdom we are allowing to mold our lives. Is it the wisdom from above, the kind we see in the character of Jesus, or is it bitter, jealous, selfish, full of boasting and lies? The kind that will erode what we have built. You know, I have a video. I'll go ahead and get that ready, Ashley. But when we were on our vacation to the ocean, fishing on the shore, we stood in the sand right at the waves as they came in. And just thinking about the illustration Jesus said of building on a rock or on the sand. And you couldn't stand there for more than a few minutes before you had to move your feet because the sand was inches deep on you. The sand is just not solid.
There were two men. Each set out to build their home. One built his upon the rocks, while the other did so upon the sand. And then came the storm.
There are absolutes. Things that are fixed that no matter how much we may want to move them, will always remain. Jesus said anyone who hears his words and does them will have his life built upon the rock. But to not do them is to live upon the sand. Rock or sand. You see, the ocean is immense, completely vast, pulled by forces beyond man's control, and therefore, it demands respect. You see, it doesn't know you and it doesn't care about you. It can't. The ocean is an unyielding force. You bend to it. And much like the tides of the ocean, each wave of our culture is a voice washing over the known ideas and fixed points of the world around us. This energy, this force, presses on as each new generation takes the place of the last. And the sands that we've come to identify with shift. The waves move the sand. Culture changes, but we're told that there is no God and you are an accident. There's no right or wrong way. You make your own truth. On these sands, even established scientific facts like gender are shifting. From here, fame and popularity become more important than kindness and virtue. The lines of good and evil are blurred. Compliance to these ideas is demanded, and the rock is hated. You see, culture will mold you, and society will shape you. It will forcibly bend you to its will as long as you remain on the shore. And today, we haven't just built homes on the sand. No, we've built kingdoms and countries upon it. More and more have left the rock to enjoy the temporary pleasures of the shore, unaware that nothing will withstand the tide. Make no mistake, the tide is rising. These sands will move. Don't let yourself be drawn out to sea, but rather find the rock. Without a foundation, without a guide, and without rules, we know a society breaks down. See, we've been taught to look at the teachings of Jesus as something to block us from pleasure and enjoyment, when in reality, it was put there to build our life upon, to protect us. The world always calls to us, but it never wants us to leave. And yes, I fully engage society, but my home is on the rock. The water is already rising. We're living in a world gone mad, and no one has the answers. When the floods come, something always has to give. Either the waves will break you, or the rock will break the waves. There's only one who can save us. He's the one who walked on water through the storm to save those who believed in him. When Peter began to sink under the waves, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus, with compassion in his eyes, pulls Peter from the water. He holds his hand to you. There's no condemnation. He's not mad. He just wants to save you, to pull you to the rock.
Either the waves will break you, or the rock will break the waves. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? Is it on the rock, reaching out to pull others to safety? Beware of those standing on the sand, offering their ideas, their solutions, as the sand washes out from under the ideologies and theories that they have. It's not the job of man to construct moral law or to dole out human wisdom. It's our job to stand firm on the righteousness of God's word. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 tells us to walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with the fools and get into trouble. This is why I spend time with good dudes, right? Good people. This is why I love hanging out with my church family. Spending time with wise folks. It's unwise to hear and to know what Jesus has taught and not put it into practice. James asks, "Who among you is wise?" The answer to that question is those who hear Jesus' teaching and obey it. Folks, God is calling us to be wise. And I challenge you to put wisdom into practice. James is preaching an active lifestyle. All through James' book, he says, do this. Take the message and do something about it. Put it into action. Let's put our wisdom into practice. Otherwise, maybe it's not so wise. Intentionally build your character upon the firm foundation, the rock of the Word of God. And be bold in offering biblical wisdom to those who are losing their footing in the shifting sands of our culture, or the fear or the apathy of our culture. The rewards of wisdom are greater than any treasure that we could seek to obtain or own. And as James says, those who sow in peace will reap a harvest of righteousness. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. I'm going to read this scripture to you in closing. This is what we should apply to our lives as far as wisdom goes. He says, my child, the writer of this proverb says, my child, listen to what I say and treasure my command. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search them as you would for silver and seek them like hidden treasure. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain the knowledge of God. You will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you, and understanding will keep you safe. Join me in praising God for his wisdom and his majesty and his greatness and his glory, his everlasting kindness and mercy. My prayer for you as we sing the song together is that we would not only hear the word of God, but to put it into play and to use God's wisdom that he gives to us if we ask him to navigate through the difficulty that we face. Let's pray. Father God, I ask that you now would guide us as we go about our lives. That you would help us to be after wisdom, Lord. After it so much, every day we seek to gain more wisdom and to put it into use. God, we thank you for giving us a gift that allows us to go after wisdom. Lord, I pray that that you would guide us and you would give us strength. Help us to build on the rock of your word. Help us to tell other folks how much better the rock is than the sand. Lord Jesus, we give glory and praise to your name. Amen.